You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Alice Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Ken Gernick, who has covered the Dodgers all season long for MLB.com, and we are almost at the finish line as far as the regular season goes. So the Dodgers appear primed to be in a very good position, and actually by the time that you all are listening to this, they may have clinched the National League West division behind their ace, Clayton Kershaw, so we'll have to see about that. But Ken, let's talk a little bit about some things that have happened lately. I don't think that anybody thought that the Dodgers and Giants series would be quiet or subdued or boring, and it's lived up to the hype. So let's just talk a little bit about what's going on between these two teams. Tempers flared a little bit. Madison Bumgarner hit Yasiel Puig with a pitch. Benches in the pen emptied. Nobody got hurt, of course, because nobody ever throws any punches in these things. But what was going on with that, and was it just one of those things that happens and they kind of move on from it, or do you think it'll linger a little bit?
Well, it really started back in May when the Puig homered off Bumgarner and flipped his bat. Bumgarner didn't like it and was yelling at him as he rounded the bases. And he continued to yell as he got to home plate. So this has some history, and it'll probably happen again. And when they face each other again, I don't know if it's so much the teams involved, but Puig has the ability to anger and infuriate any team. Doesn't have to be a rival from up north in California way. So this will continue because of the way Puig plays the game and his personality. And he does irritate opponents. He sometimes irritates teammates. But this is what you get. You get the whole package. It's a phenomenal tool. And he doesn't play by the unwritten rules of Major League Baseball. So the fans seem to love it. You know, they love the controversy. He loves the limelight. So I don't see it changing.
How does Don Mattingly handle all this? I'm, you know, reading a few things just here and there about, I mean, that's a challenge for a manager, just to kind of handle the kind of boneheadedness, for lack of a better word, of some of the players, trying to make sure they understand that there's certain things that they should be doing, but while portraying that to the media in a completely different way and maintaining harmony in the clubhouse. Is Mattingly good at that? Would you say that's a strength of his?
Well, it must be if they're going to win back-to-back divisions with the amount of egos and personalities that they have. It's probably the toughest part of his job, even worse than dealing with the media. And Puig is the lightning rod. He's out of all the egos and all the potential problems that Donnie has, Puig's the biggest one, and he's proven that over the 2 years. But like I said, you take the whole package, and there's a lot more good than bad there. Puig can do things on the field that no one else can do. So Mattingly knows he needs him to win, and he does whatever he can to keep him happy, and last night it was to keep him in the game by getting in front of him and trying to calm him down. Every manager has different responsibilities depending on his situation, and Donnie's is dealing with these egos. If he's no good at it, he won't last, so because this team is full of egos. So that's his biggest responsibility, and I'd say if you go by the bottom line, and they're winning 2 years in a row with all of these big names and big salaries, then he must be doing a pretty good job.
Let's look ahead to the postseason a little bit, just with the starting rotation. Ryu being unlikely to make any more appearances before the postseason. Left shoulder inflammation, but how worried are they? I mean, it seems like they're pretty confident that if he just rests and then he'll just be able to just slot into the rotation when the playoffs start, but there has to be a little bit of concern that maybe he's not going to be available once that starts. What's the deal? What's going on with him?
Well, yeah, but there's nothing they can do about it. They just have to wait. So you can't go out and make a trade or anything. So, yeah, they're concerned. I think they're more concerned right now with their bullpen. But, you know, Ryu, if he can't pitch, it does have a domino effect on the bullpen. So there is some concern for sure, as there would be any time you've got one of your top three starters out, you know. But there really isn't much they can do other than hope that he continues to progress. Making progress, and since the inflammation's gone, he's starting to play catch, and hopefully he'll get on a mound in the next few days and have a bullpen session and be able to go. The the fact that there's so many off days between now and when he would pitch, he has almost 2 weeks to continue his recovery before the third game of the first round of the playoffs, assuming that the Dodgers win their division and are on a wild card. So there's time, but there will be some scrambling if he can't do it. Dan Heron would move up. It probably would require having Roberto Hernandez on the postseason roster. He probably wouldn't make it if he was healthy. But, you know, that's really getting almost 2 weeks ahead of ourselves. So right now they're cautiously optimistic that he'll be able to go.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the playoffs is you really just need three strong starters. You don't need the entire five-man rotation, certainly to get through those early games. But, yeah, this is probably not good timing. But like you said, I mean, there's nothing they can do about it, so they have to keep pushing forward. So what about the you talked a little bit about the bullpen, the concerns there. Let's talk about that a little bit. But I also wanted to touch on the outfield situation. There seemed to be a lot of outfielders trying to gun for playing time, but also a spot on that 25-man roster. So, there's been some speculation. There's six outfielders. There's probably just five spots. How do you see that shaking out? And remind me if Peterson is actually eligible for the postseason roster, because I can't remember when he came up. So how does that all kind of shake out in the outfield?
Well, Peterson is eligible, but he's unlikely unless somebody gets hurt. I mean, he wasn't part of this team that got him to first place. And he hasn't really been much of a part. He's been an extra piece during September. So I don't think you would see him making the roster ahead of an Andre Ethier when Ethier is the one who's been their left-handed bat off the bench all season. Now, if somebody was hurt and they felt they needed his defense, that would change things. But as it is right now, I think it would be a long shot for him to make the roster. And one of the problems that they have is because they always take Hanley Ramirez out for late-inning defense, they have to keep Miguel Rojas on that roster just to play a couple innings when they're winning. So that ties up one more roster spot that maybe they would be able to give to a young player like Peterson for an extra bat off the bench. So the way the roster is constructed now, I don't see Peterson making it unless something weird happens. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you about the bullpen. So what are some of the concerns there?
Well, the concern there really is Brian Wilson. That's the biggest concern. But that's nothing new. It's been this way all year. He's had an ERA of almost 5 most of the year and throwing barely 90 miles an hour, you know, on a good day. So he's not what Brian Wilson was with the Giants, and he's not what Brian Wilson was with the Dodgers last year in September. As a result, and he's being spot used not facing any left-handers. So what Don Mattingly has had to do is he uses both Wilson and J.P. Howell in the eighth inning to get to Kenley Jansen, and he'll move him around depending on whether he's got righties or lefties coming up. And it's had mixed results. So it's kind of dicey. I think you're seeing now that Pedro Baez is a rookie and only been up for 4 or 5 weeks. He's getting a lot of seventh inning action, and it wouldn't surprise me if he winds up in the eighth. So this bullpen is one in flux. They've got four former closers, but I don't think they're really comfortable with any of them, including Brandon League and Chris Perez, J.P. Howell, Brian Wilson. So it's a mix and match situation, and he keeps his fingers crossed that he can get the ball to Kenley Jansen with the lead.
Does it surprise you at all? I mean, just to see sort of, like you say, things are in flux. There seems to be just a lot of question marks in a lot of different areas. And, traditionally, when you look at teams that are making a really strong push in September and have a, you know, are kind of considered pretty favorable to get far into October, usually the injuries are very minimal and guys are solidified in a particular role. It doesn't seem to be with the Dodgers situation, yet they're at the top of the standings and they seem to just be, rolling. I mean, does that surprise you at all?
Well, everything with the Dodgers is surprising. You know, you can start with the payroll, and, you know, they
right.
go out and buy, you know, every big-name, big-money guy out there. And to get to that status in your career, you're basically a veteran and with a lot of miles on you. And that's what the bulk of their team is. They've got a bunch of 30-plus guys, and especially out in the bullpen, you don't get to be a former closer by just being young and fresh. You know, you've proven that over the years. And as a result, a lot of them, you know, aren't as sharp as they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. So you've got a veteran team, and at times an old veteran team, and they break. Veterans break. And so you've had a lot of injuries that they've had to overcome, and they overcome it by the fact that they've got a very deep roster because money's no object. So this is it's not a surprising team, but it's a very unusual team by the way it's constructed.
Yeah, I still think that Clayton Kershaw missing that first month of the season is going to work in the Dodgers' favor, and I think that was a difference maker last year, was that he wasn't so great in October, and I don't know. I have a feeling about the Dodgers this year. So we will keep our eye on it. Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate all of your help through the regular season, and we'll talk to you in October.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.